So I want to start off a little bit today. I love what Glenn was talking about the plants, because my teaching is a little bit out of John 15 and the vine, and also about transformation. I have a little bit of everything this morning, so we'll see what God does with it. I'm going to start off by reading 2 Peter chapter 1, but I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. So just listen, and because it'll be different than what the King James or the New King James is. Everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by His divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing Him who has called us by name and invited us to come to Him through a glorious manifestation of His goodness. As a result of this, He has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped the corruption, the corrupt desires that are in the world. When we got born again, divine nature came into us because Jesus came into us. Not anything we've done, not anything we could ever do. Everything we need to reflect God's true nature has already been given to us. It's already in us. Amen? Because He came in when we said, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. We became a partaker of His nature, and we come into fellowship with Him, koinonia, to participate as a partner, to be a companion with, to have fellowship with. We are to have fellowship with divine nature, with Him, and He with us. And out of that we flow. So the Father, when Jesus came in, actually put His DNA in us. Right? I carry my Father's DNA. Jack's sons carry His DNA. Jay's kids and Tim's kids carry their DNA. But we, all of us, when we get saved, carry the Father's DNA. So change is possible. Come on. And change is necessary. We can't stay the same. If 10 years after we've been saved, we're still doing the same thing, still swearing like a trooper, not doing anything for the kingdom, then I have to say, boy, were you really saved? Because that new nature in us begins to work. And the Holy Spirit begins to convict. Right? To bring change in our lives. So let's turn to John 15, verses 1 to 4. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The Father asked Jesus to come and redeem mankind. So Jesus leaves the Father's side, leaves His, who He is in the heavenlies, in eternity. He disrobes that and comes down to earth as man, like mankind. When He's here, He does only what the Father tells Him to do. The Holy Spirit is leading Him the whole time. His purpose on earth was to reveal the Father to mankind and to purchase mankind back to the Father. So what Jesus really was giving his life for was for us to be able to have relationship again. And after many years of walking with the Lord, I realize I can get all kinds of teaching, and that's good. I can go in on the internet now and get anything I want, teaching-wise, and that's great. But you know where I find my growth comes from? When I sit with him. When I sit with him. When I look into his face and he looks into mine. When I get the word and I read the word and I see who he really is and how he really walked. And I understand that if I'm attached to him in the way he was attached to the Father, fruit's going to come forth in my life. Jesus walked on the earth in absolute dependence and perfect confidence on the Father. So Jesus became the true vine that we just read about. So you and I might become the true branches. And the Father is the husbandman who does the pruning and the work. We're the branches. We're wood. Humanity. Filled with the presence of the King. Without branches, the vine can do nothing. Do you realize that? If that vine doesn't have branches, there won't be any fruit. Think about it. We look at this parable and we read it and let me speak for myself. I thought, the vine can't do anything without the branches. It's not going to have any fruit without branches. And we're the branches. So there won't be any fruit if we're not attached to the vine. What is a branch really? A branch is simply a bit of wood brought forth by the vine for one purpose, that of serving and bearing fruit. That's its one purpose. At the end of the branch is where the fruit begins to come forth, beautiful, luscious grapes. I mean, the whole thing of vineyards, the study how they really function, I mean, can't go into it all, but how they prune them and how they cut back the wood until there's only about 2 inches left, and you think, you're killing it. You know, like when you watch somebody go into a vineyard and they start to prune that vineyard, you think, oh, you're being ruthless. Look what you're doing to it. All that's left are little tiny stumps because they have to cut back the growth from last year, where all the fruit came forth last year. So they cut it back until there's only a tiny little bit of wood left. And that is what begins to grow in the spring and bear fruit again. It's an amazing process. And, you know, here Jesus is, and he loved to teach with parables. But here he is, really, in his last days before he's crucified. And he's teaching his disciples this message. Because they're wanting preeminence, they're wanting position, they're competing with each other. They want to call down fire, as Pastor Jay said last Sunday. And Jesus says, what spirit are you of? Because Jesus came to love. And he's telling them, you're wood. And you've got to be attached. Because if you're not attached, you won't bear fruit. So the branch is the very nature of the vine. There's no difference. And has one life and one spirit, the same as the vine. And we struggle with the fact when we hear someone say you have divine nature in you. But how can you be attached to the vine and not have the same life? I think it's very easy for us, church, to get very busy with life and forget this side of it. And I'm going to say this because I think I need to say it. I know you've been in a horrific struggle just to keep going. And as I heard the words come forth over two of your children, you might not have earthly wealth, but your greatest wealth is going to be your kids. What God's going to do is going to be amazing. So don't be discouraged. You've sown the nations into them. And the words are already coming about the nations. It's pretty amazing. And Claude and Elaine, you sowed your children into the nations. When they were but little, you said, I'm giving them to the Lord. And I'm giving them to the nations. Look what God is doing. It's amazing. And I know you guys have been attached to the vine. That's been your life source. Sometimes we can be very attached to the world, and it doesn't bear the same fruit. The branch has but one object by which it exists, one purpose to which it is entirely given up. That is to bear the fruit the vine wishes it to bring forth. And so the believer, us, has but one reason for being a branch, but one reason for existing on the earth, that Christ can bring forth his fruit in the world. So we're given the Holy Spirit to fill us and empower us by God's grace to bring forth fruit in our own lives and to reveal the love of the Father to all God puts us in touch with. See, others come and partake of the fruit that's in our lives. And I'm not going to have time to preach this whole message, but for many of us, and I, just in walking in the lobby and talking to a few people, people are under incredible pressure. A lot of people in here are right now. But if you will go to Galatians and look at the fruit of the Spirit, if I don't get there today, I want to get this in. Go look at the fruit of the Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit, what fruit are you forming in me with the pressure I'm under? What is it that I don't have of gentleness, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering, love? What is it that's not in my life that this pressure is identifying? Because you're getting ready to give me an upgrade. Come on. And so we need to look at, God, what are you after right now in this pressure cooker I feel in? Because he's trying to produce fruit on the vine that you haven't had, that I haven't had. I think of the two of you, Rod and Karen, as you travel back and forth. You know, this time you were exhausted and got a call and had to move. You know, patience, long-suffering. What's he forming? That down the road, you can look back on in this season and say, that came while we were in that incredible pressure with Mom. Couldn't have come any other way. God knew. It's hard, it's painful, and yet there's an upgrade at the end of it. In the fruit of the Spirit. You know, it's for all of us. I could point out some things in my own life, but I have to sit with the Lord to see what mine are, right? Which I am, trust me. So Jesus lives in us and transforms us into his likeness. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So if we're in Christ, we're new creations. That's what the word says. So over time, we should change. As we sit with him, over time, we should be different. Right? If we're the same 10 years from now, something's wrong. Because divine life going from the vine into these branches should produce fruit. Not only that, last Sunday, Pastor Jay preached about out of Ephesians 1, 19 to 21, that we've been filled with the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. This is the life that pours through these branches that are attached to the vine. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and that's where we're positioned. Above all principalities and powers. And as God works in our lives and this incredible presence pours through our veins, we begin to become atmosphere changers. And we give the devil a headache. Honestly, if you think about this, if we step into the truth of who we really are, and begin to allow the Holy Spirit to form his love in us, his gentleness in us, his kindness in us, his goodness in us, his gentleness in us, his long-suffering in us, and we can begin to walk through life with those fruits operating and impacting other people's lives, where before maybe we would be impatient. Now we're patient. Where before there would have been anger, now there's gentleness. Where before we would have looked at people through the eyes of the flesh and seen all their flaws, now we see them through the lens of the goodness of the Father working in their lives, and we can actually see the good things in people's lives and encourage them. We become a threat to the enemy. It's a level of warfare that is beyond warfares. I remember years and years ago, we were back and forth as a church with Shekinah, and the senior pastor at the time was Barbara Yoder, and we were learning spiritual warfare, and it was a season where we did a lot of yelling at the enemy, because that's what we thought it was. And she's sitting there very quietly as the wise woman that she is, and she still leads the charge. But she says, you know, Gary, sometimes spiritual warfare is sending someone a dozen red roses. I remember walking out of there going, what? A dozen red roses? What's that got to do with warfare? It's kindness. It's warfare. Right? Of a very different kind. But when we begin to understand this, transformation begins to happen. And it happens by sitting in his presence. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, and we're being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. There's another scripture that has to do with transformation, and it's Matthew 17:2, and it says, there he was, meaning Jesus, on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. I couldn't tell you now which book I read it in. I just know it stuck with me when I read it. Bill Johnson made a statement. I know it. I wrote it down, actually. Here it is. His devotional on God's goodness. And he says about the transfiguration on the Mount of Olives, his clothing was white as lightning flashes, and he was transfigured. His face became brilliant. That is a physical example of what a renewed mind looks like in the spirit realm. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if you caught that. But he was brilliant. In one translation, it says he glistered. He was transfigured before them. They got to see what he really looked like. The three of them, and they fell on their faces. Our minds, as they are transformed by the word, as we sit in his presence, as we're attached to the vine, they become brilliant just like that. That's why you can sometimes walk near a person and the anointing that's on them overwhelms you. They haven't said anything. They're just in the presence of the whole Lord a whole lot. And when they speak very little, but a lot of wisdom comes out. I think we've run into people like that. That's who we want to be, because that's what the world needs. So I want to read just a couple more scriptures, because there's a part that the Lord does and there's a part that we do. Colossians 3. And I'm going to read a few verses and I'm going to close. Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So we are to seek. It's our responsibility. We need to sit in his presence daily. This isn't enough what you're getting here. If this is your diet, compare it to the food you eat every day. Would you have one meal a day? A week. Dormers go, nope. No, we wouldn't. We feed our natural bodies because they need it, right? But our spirit man is even more important. So for not spending any time there, we're anemic. We're going to be very thin wood, not bearing much fruit, if any. So seek those things that are above and set your mind on things above. So in other words, the kingdom of God, his realm, should be most important to us. And that's a big struggle, because in the world we live in now, we're bombarded on every side by media, by advertisement. I mean, you go on YouTube and want to listen to some music, if it's a good music, every few minutes you're dealing with an advertisement. It's frustrating. Click till it leaves, right? But it's all around us. And so all the more reason for the focus to be this way, so that this has the preeminence and doesn't muddy the waters for us, because the incoming mail is incredible. And it's, Jack and I were in the mall the other day. We don't go there a whole lot. And I had a couple of errands to run, and so we hoofed through there, to say the least. It's like, and I'm looking around and I'm thinking, Lord, It's drawing at you from every side. Buy me, buy me. You need it. You don't even think you need it until you see it. I don't want to get off on a tangent, but isn't it the truth? Once you see it, it's like, I got to have that. But when it's this way, we got to say, Lord, I have to have that. I have to have more of you, Lord. I need to touch the lives of people. When I give them a word, I want it to be the pure word. So set your mind on things above, not things of the earth. Because we died. Verse 5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. So put to death. You're now free. Don't function in these anymore. Don't give them opportunity, is what he's saying. Don't go, give those things opportunity. And things of the past that we lay down when we get born again, the enemy is going to make sure they come around to entice us to see if we can fall. So we say, no, I don't function that way anymore. I'm a new creation. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Okay, so some were to put to death, and some were to take off like a cloak. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarians, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. I want to read this last little bit out of a different translation. For your new creation life is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you, giving you the full revelation of God. In this new creation life, your nationality makes no difference, or your ethnicity, education, or economic status. They matter nothing, for it is Christ that means everything, as he lives in every one of us. So Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. As we see the truth of God's kingdom function, of how God's kingdom functions, we begin to change. We really do change when we begin to see it. Verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you richly. So in the middle of pressure and struggles, pull away, sit with him, let him do that incredible work in you. Find that peace, find that rest, and then move out of that. We have a choice. I can activate the nature of God, or my actions will align me with worldly thinking. It's one or the other. It's either God or it's going to be the world. I don't know about you, but I want fruit in my life. Amen? I want to bear fruit in old age. Come on, I want to stay green like a green tree in old age. Amen? I want to be full of the word in old age. be able to have wisdom, have peace, have gentleness, have kindness, be long-suffering, goodness, all the fruit which is all wrapped up in one thing, really, and that's love. And it's God's nature. What does the world need from the church? It needs the love of Jesus poured into them. How do we get it? By staying attached to the vine daily. There is no other way. The branch can't get life any other place but from the vine, from the roots. And it has to be planted by the Father in the right soil. So our place is to go out, lead others to the Lord, fill them with what we've received, nurturing them and loving them. Amen? Amen. Amen. So stay attached to the vine this week. Amen. Father, I thank you for the fruit that's forming in the lives of all of us, even in these times of great pressure, whether we're dealing with family members or whether we have situations happen in our home or with our children. Father, accidents, deaths, Father God, there's pressure. But Lord, grace is your empowerment to bring forth the divine nature in us. All the grace we need, everything we need is in you. You provide it. And so, Father, for everyone here, I pray, Father, this would be a week of growth. That, Father, they would identify where God is trying to give them an upgrade in their lives. What fruit he's trying to bring forth. Where he's trying to bring growth. And Lord, I just pray, Father God, that, Father, when one day they look back, as we all can do, it's not with regret, but it is with, Lord, thank you for what you did in my life, in that season of my life, because I was attached to the vine and your life was pouring into me. Bless them, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.